Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Emily Ferris is the author of I'll Just Be Five More Minutes and Other Tales from My ADHD Brain. Emily has worked as a writer, editor, graphic designer, copywriter, cocktail server, podcast host, unlicensed hairstylist, we won't tell, and much more. Currently on staff at Epicurious, Emily has written for The Cut, Architectural Digest, Elle Decor, BuzzFeed, Lifehacker, What's Up Moms, Food 52, The Daily Beast, The Bust, DIY Guide to Life, Women on Food, and many other publications. She lives in Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, I'm going to Kansas City. Maybe I'll meet her. And on the internet at thatemilyferris.com and at thatemilyferris. Welcome, Emily. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss I'll Just Be Five More Minutes and Other Tales from My ADHD Brain.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Emily, I could not put this book down. I read it like cover to cover, laughing out loud, dog-earing all the pages. I feel like we've had so many similar things in life. I also think you were one of the funniest women I've read. And I
oh my God.
Love your voice. Love, love, love everything about it.
I'm going to cry. That's like such an amazing thing to hear, especially from you. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Of course. I also am now fairly convinced I also have ADHD, but that's okay. It's okay.
You know, I'm hearing that kind of a lot from people in my circles, and it's not entirely surprising because the people in my circles are creative women who have their, you know, wear many hats, I would say, do lots of things, get lots of things done, have many interests, have lots of projects. And, you know, those two things kind of tend to go together.
Yeah. And to your point in the book, you know, it's not something that was widely diagnosed when we were growing up for women in particular, for girls.
No, not at all. ADHD was thought to be this, you know, young white boy problem.
Yeah. Kids who just like couldn't sit still, who had like bounce around in class and all of that. Okay, Emily, first let's just start with when you decided to write this book, what it was like getting a diagnosis of ADHD. And I just want to hear how you wrote the book, because it's so funny. And I love how you did it in short snippets. And it's like so perfectly crafted. And there's so many, the fact that you end it with your resume, the whole thing is like so clever, just so clever. Talk about how you got going and all of that.
Thank you. You mentioned my diagnosis, and that's a longer story that's in the detailed in the book, but I'll get into how I got the idea to write the book.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a real moms don't have time to read books situation, because it was April of 2021, and it was my very first walk that I took by myself without a dog or a child or a husband. It was the first time I was alone out in nature in a year, 11 months, 12, 13 months. I'm bad at math. 13 months. And earlier in the day, I had been tinkering with something in the house and telling my then husband, like, oh, I'll just be 5 more minutes. And it kept being 5 more minutes and 5 more minutes, and 5 more minutes. And I had long joked for years, maybe decades, that if I ever wrote a memoir, it would be called 5 Minutes Late and Covered in Dog Hair. And when I was out on this walk, I thought, oh my God, wait, I'll just be 5 more minutes. That's a great title. And obviously it should be essays, because I can't write like a long chronological detailing of my life. And actually, I probably maybe could, but I timed out of reading comprehension on the GRE.
I saw that.
Like 10 years earlier. And I thought, if I'm ever going to write a book, I need the accountability of an MFA program. Undiagnosed ADHD. Didn't know it at the time. And so I thought, well, I can only do essays. They got to be short. Got to do essays. And that's how I prefer to write anyway. And I cut my walk short and rushed home and like rattled off this email to my agent. And he got right back to me. He was like, I love this idea. The timing is right. This is so you. This is perfect. Let's do it. And, you know, the dopamine was flowing, and I knocked out a proposal pretty quickly, and he shopped it around, and I got to work on it by October of 2021.
Wow.
And wrote it in a year.
It's awesome. It's so awesome. One thing that you referenced, and I'm just going to like jump all over because
that's the nature of the story.
It's the nature of the story. Drinking a Love Story is one of my favorite books by Caroline Knapp. Love, love, love. And I also, and I wrote about this in my own memoir, which I feel like you have to read, because you'll see like we have 1,000 things in common, not because I'm trying to sell another copy.
No, it is actually on my list. I promise you.
Because you're going to be like, me, because that's how I was with you, which has not happened to me with like any other book. I don't think I've read that. Wow. How you turned to alcohol, like wine coolers when you were young, and then got to a point where when you were older, you're like, let me see if I can stop drinking for 6 months and all of that. Talk to me about the role of alcohol and how it relates, and even the dopamine and all of it, just where that fits in and where what your relationship is now.
Yeah, I'll try to remember them all. I started drinking really young. Some of that, I think, is where I grew up and how I grew up in the Midwest, in a suburb. Suburb is a nice term, of Kansas City. And I started drinking young as a social lubricant. I felt awkward. I couldn't talk to people. I would say the wrong things. I wanted the courage to talk to boys. I wanted to fit in. And so I started drinking. And I realized that or at least in my own head, I thought I fit in better when I was drinking. And so I would drink more, and it was fun, and I felt less inhibited, as one does, whether they have ADHD or not. But it helped me as someone who, I started drinking when I was 14. Do not recommend, do not try this at home, children. By then I knew that like I would say the wrong things, or I was awkward, or like I wasn't like the people in my school who had lots of friends and were really social and cool. And drinking at least made me feel like I could be those things sometimes. And I just kind of grew up thinking that like alcohol was how I could be social. That's how I could be around boys. And it just made me feel, I hate to say the word normal, because it clearly being drunk is not normal, but it made me feel like I could talk to people like everyone else could talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And that continued for far too long. And it got to the point where I was like, didn't know how to go on a date without getting drunk. And then it got to a point where I was just like, I would wake up and it was cringy and I felt gross about it and just about my drinking in general. And I was still in my 20s. Like, I think a lot of people reach this point in their 20s and hopefully most of them can say, oh shit, I need to stop drinking so much. And so I did. I said, I'm going to take a 6 month to a year long break and just to see if I can, because I didn't know if I could. I was like, am I an alcoholic? I don't know. And so I quit and I could. And I just found something else. I started running and I got really into frosted animal crackers, the kind with sprinkles and Diet Coke. And maybe I just replaced one thing for another, but I kind of had been doing that throughout my life. And it wasn't that I like needed a thing. I was just like, okay, well, I'll just get interested in this other thing now. And the fact that I quit and I could quit and I didn't crave it and I felt great and life was great. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not an alcoholic, but I definitely had a drinking problem. I was drinking too much. And so I slowly reintroduced alcohol into my life in a much more grown-up way. And I have a much better relationship with alcohol now. I will say that there are still times where I drink too much out of social anxiety. And I rein myself in. I'm like, oh, better take a break, cut back, you know, cool it. And I do. And I'm too old for that now. I'm 41. I have 2 kids. I'm tired. I don't have time to get drunk anymore. But, you know, I enjoy a cocktail, wine out with my friends.
You can host the Moms Don't Have Time to Get Drunk podcast. How about that?
Oh my God. Yes.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be so fun.
Oh my God.
Let's do it. Let's co-host it. We'll have one low alcohol drink.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So from that, your experience on 9/11, which you wrote about beautifully and sadly and funny and heartfelt and all the things. I could not believe why don't you tell the story, how you quit this job the night before and narrowly missed being there. You should have been there. And
yeah, I was working as a stockbroker's assistant, which is, of all the jobs I've had, that's the one that's like, this thing is not like the others. But somebody at my college at the time and said, I know this person who needs an assistant. And I was working for her for the summer and it was supposed to be a summer thing. It went into the fall. Didn't love the job. Loved the regular paycheck, even though it was small. And one night I was having gin and tonics with my cousin and his girlfriend in Astoria. And I just started telling them how much I didn't like my job, that I just hated it. And once I get it in my head that like I feel a certain way about something, I can't get it out. And I was like, I think I have to quit. And it's like, I can't wait 2 weeks. This job, it'll be miserable. And I've never done anything like this before, but I snuck into the office at like 11:30 at night. I had a key, so I wasn't really sneaking. Left a note that said, I can't work here anymore. I'm sorry. And this was before Berger left the note for Carrie. Just FYI, okay. I did it first.
Okay.
It was me. I was first. And I took my things and I went home and I went to bed and I woke up. I was living on West 4th Street at the time, at 6th Avenue. And I woke up to my roommate banging on my bedroom door to tell me that a plane had run into the World Trade Center. And the office where I was working was on Rector Street, which was, you know, it's not super close, but it was, I would often get off at the World Trade Center, stop and walk to work. And I don't think I would have been like right there or in any immediate danger. But I also know that I'm the kind of person who jumps into action in a crisis. Who knows what I would have done? Would I have gone back to help people? Probably. I would like to think that I would, because that's the kind of thing I do. I'm the kind of person who will like run toward a burning building to help someone. So I ended up helping people. I was living next to a church at the time and I ended up helping people that way, but it still kind of blows my mind the way that just the timeline of all of that and how that happened.
Well, I loved hearing about it and how, you know, just the role of fate and all these decisions and the universe and why things happen. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I read this one part, and I can't find my normal glasses, so I look terrible. But
please read anything.
Can I read this section about texting, which was so funny? And I have the same thing as I'm sure so many people do, and they forget to text people back, or they see it and they're going to do it later, but then they don't, and then they're embarrassed. This is like my life. Anyway, can I read this one?
Yeah, this is the single sentence essay.
Okay. Why? Oh my God, I didn't even realize it was one sentence, but that's even funnier. Oh my gosh. Why I never responded to your text? Because when I saw the preview pop up, I could tell you were asking me a question. And Kyle, which is, by the way, my husband's name, was trying to explain to me why we didn't have the money or the time to paint the hallway, but he didn't know I'd already bought the paint and I just didn't have the mental energy to give anyone an answer to anything. So I decided it would make the most sense to leave your message unread so I'd remember to go back and reply later, except it got buried by other messages I also didn't read. And even though I've only had this phone for 2 months, I somehow have 33 unread texts and I just get completely overwhelmed every time I look at my home screen. And now it's been like 5 weeks since you texted, and I've thought about writing you back a million times, but I was trying to come up with something more original than, so sorry for the late reply, because that's what I always say. And when I finally decided I was just going to pretend I missed your text altogether and come in with the classic but impenetrable, oh shit, I missed this, I realized you probably already found the answer elsewhere and that replying at this point would only result in yet another reply from you, and it just seemed like the responsible thing to do, to delete your message so it would stop haunting me, and now you're probably mad at me. So good. So funny.
So true.
These are the things that like go through my mind all the time. I miss this text. Should I, now it's gotten too late. Da, 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 da. Like the constant, you know, dialogue and all of that. I don't know. But this also speaks to one of the larger things, which is like sort of executive function or executive dysfunction, which you write about a lot in the book. Talk about that and how that plays into sort of day-to-day interactions like texting.
Oh, I mean, I just constantly feel behind in everything. Paperwork. Bills, texts, emails. I mean, I have, what, 12 different email accounts, and I will sometimes just start a new email account because I'm just like, I can't, this one is too much. And I'll end up with like, I'm gonna keep this email, I'm gonna keep this inbox clean, I'm gonna get inbox zero. And then like 2 months later, I have 3,000 unread emails. And part of it is I work in media, so I get pitched a lot at the wrong email address all the time. Wherever people can find me, they write me. But I also, you know, when someone I know and love writes me, and I want to write them back, I'll read their email, but I'm on my way to something. And of course I'm late because I'm always late for everything, or I'm behind on a deadline. I'm like, I'm going to write back when I can write back in kind, when I can really give this thoughtful response. Well, I'm sure we all know how the rest of that goes, because then I get buried in other things and I get other emails and then I never get back to it. And then I feel terrible. And that happens with, my dad has ADHD and he got diagnosed a few years before I did, though no one told me until after I got diagnosed.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, I would come home and sometimes the electricity would be shut off or the water would be shut off. And it wasn't that he couldn't pay the bill. It's that this was the 90s and you couldn't set up auto pay was part of it. And so he sometimes just forgot to pay the bill. And I am where I am today because of auto pay. I will say that. If auto pay did not exist, I would still have like the worst credit score. I would just be paying late fees all over the place. And when I say where I am today, I am in a new apartment that I have movers moving my furniture in today.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And for the first time, I got married and bought a house before I got diagnosed. So for the first time ever, like I applied for an apartment and I got approved within 5 minutes and everything was easy because before my diagnosis, before meds, before I understand the tools and the systems I needed, even though I set up a lot of systems before I was diagnosed just to survive in the world, my credit was terrible. I never had money in the bank. I was just struggling and I was behind. And, you know, I went off to college with debt. So it's not like I had a great starting point financially, but I am in a much better place now because I understand my brain. I have systems in place to help me manage those things. I also have a full-time job that I love, a job that I've been at for 2.5 years. And I, before my diagnosis, never stayed in a real, like a job for more than 9 months. I still have my executive function issues. My to-do list, it gets a little too long and I, you know, scramble with time management and deadlines sometimes, but just the ability to stay on top of just like the mundane day-to-day tasks associated with being an adult are very hard for people with ADHD because those things don't give us dopamine. They don't make my brain say, yes, let's get into this, unless something terrible happens or I want to, you know, fix my credit to buy a house, or I don't know, I want to go on a vacation and save money. Then I will start a spreadsheet and I will become obsessive and I will track everything. I will, you know, pay extra on my credit cards and track my credit score and track my payments and track my credit utilization percentage and log into Credit Karma every day. But that's only if I'm like hyper-focused on a goal. And when I'm not, it's impossible for me to focus on those things. That happens in relationships sometimes too. I've written pretty publicly about my marriage ending And I don't, there are a lot of reasons that my marriage ended. Many, many reasons. One is that my husband and I weren't like really matched attachment style. You know, he really wanted to spend a lot of time together and I value my alone time. And I had to, in our, and I get hyper-focused on projects. So a few years ago, I had to set calendar reminders to say, check in with Kyle, call Kyle, tell Kyle you love him. Because I would get so hyper-focused on things that were exciting to me that I wouldn't always check in my marriage. And he took that as she doesn't love me. And that created a lot of problems. And so executive function can really affect more than just bills and calendars and texts. It really is even texts, right? Like I don't text my friends back. Do they think I hate them? I don't hate them. I love you, friends, if you're listening. I just couldn't reply to your text. That was a very rambly early morning answer for you, Zadie.
I loved it. I loved it. I just want to sit and listen to you. Like I want the book to continue in my head direct with you.
You can go listen to the audiobook now.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
I loved your ideas of systems because, like you, and I'm sorry that it's like too personal. I'm like, this is something I need because I'm constantly always just like a minute or two late for everything all day. And I'm always like just a little behind. And then I forget things all the time. And I'm like, anyway, like that's all day, every day. I mean, I'm not usually like too late. I rescue it. But I've always thought like even with the alarms, like you said you set multiple alarms and you have it going off. So tell me your strategies for not being late. What are some of those?
They don't always work. But one thing that does work that I found, it's like the only thing that really works for me. So I do set multiple alarms. I have an alarm on my phone, on my calendar, and there are like notifications on those. I also have Google Home devices. I even have one next to my bed, like a Nest. So I have it set an alarm for me. And then I set an alarm on my phone.
For every like—
No, just for morning, for getting up in the morning.
Okay.
But then for events, I do have a calendar reminder. So I have it send me an email a day ahead, give me a notification in the morning, give me a notification 30 to 10 minutes before, depending on the event. Then it buzzes on my watch. So it goes on my phone, my computer, my watch. My Apple Watch, I will say, has changed my life. I've never been a watch person, but having a, like, I even have my watch face set to tell me my next thing. Like I see on my wrist what my next thing is and what time it is. The only thing though that has really, really, really helped me be on time to things, and it doesn't work for everything, but when I schedule an appointment, and I can't do this all the time because then I would know, but when I schedule a dentist appointment 6 months out or my psychiatry appointment 3 months out because I have to see my psychiatrist every 3 months to get my meds refilled, or I schedule something kind of important, when I put it on my calendar, I put it on my calendar for 15 to 20 minutes earlier than it actually starts. But I can't do that every time because if I did, then I would know. I'd be like, oh, I lied to myself. Mm-hmm. But I do it just enough, and usually for more important things, so that I don't catch on. And I question, like, I don't even know if I lied to myself or not. So I better be on time. Like I work toward that earlier time to get there. And, you know, people have said to me over the years, if you cared, you'd be on time. You can be on time. You know, you don't want to be on time. I hate being late. It stresses me out so much. I hate it so much. It's not the good kind of dopamine. It's like, you know, I get stressed out. I get flustered. I don't want to show up anywhere flustered. That's not a good look for me. I'm already like a hot mess sometimes. So there's something called time blindness. And that is the theme of the title, I'll Just Be 5 More Minutes, and the titular essay toward the end of the book. People with ADHD have a really hard time perceiving the passage of time. And so we think, oh, I can get ready in an hour. I can do this. I got this. And we don't got this. But the same thing happens when we give ourselves 2 hours. Like there's just something like, I'm like, oh, I have 2 hours. Well, now I can do my hair. Or like, I wasn't going to wash my hair, but I have 2 hours. So now I'm going to wash my hair. But then I forget that I have really thick hair and it takes me like way too long to blow dry my hair. And then I have to style my hair. And then if my kid needs something or my dog gets out or like the phone rings, not that I answer it, but if somebody I feel like I need to answer it, like any little thing can just throw us completely off. And it's just really hard. I wish that I had a really great succinct explanation, but it's really hard to perceive passage of time. And no matter what I do, no matter how much time I give myself, I'm going to be late. I see these memes on social media about like the worst thing for a person with ADHD is a middle of the day appointment. Like I was teasing you before we started recording, this is very early and I'm not a morning person, but an early morning, something is actually very good for me because if I have something like an important appointment at noon or 1 or 2, my whole day is gone because I'm just like hyper-focused. I'm like, okay, I have this appointment. I can't do anything else. I can't focus on work. I can't do laundry. Like I have to focus on getting to this appointment. And even if my brain is like completely focused on just getting to this midday appointment, I might still be late.
Mm. What is your advice if someone is married to somebody like that? Or like you're in a relationship, right?
Yes. I would say number one, the most important thing is do not take it personally. If you are married to someone with ADHD, the fact that they are late for dinner or that they are not checking in with you when they're, you know, hyper-focused on something, it's not about you. It's not because they don't love you. It's not because they don't care about you. It's because their brain is telling them, focus on this right now. So not taking it personally is really important. Positive reinforcement is, that's a huge one. If your neurodivergent person isn't giving you the attention you want, getting mad at them for it is the absolute worst thing you can do, if my divorce is any indication. But you can praise them when they do give you attention and, you know, give them positive reinforcement. When they do make time for you, don't spend that time complaining about the time they don't make for you. Make that time something that their brain wants to come back to. And have a sense of humor about them, about yourself, about life. I think it's true for anyone, right? Like it's so hard to go through life, especially this life in this world with kids and jobs and stress. And if you can't have a sense of humor about it, like it just makes everything so much worse. But again, like for really specifically being with someone who has ADHD, don't take it personally and focus on positive reinforcement versus negative.
I mean, that's just good marriage advice in general, I have to say. Yeah. Anything, any behaviors you want to increase?
It's true. And good parenting advice.
And good parenting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard it for parenting. I just haven't heard it as much for marriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, you remembered your water bottle today for school. That's great. But not like, oh, you know, I don't know. Recently, I told my husband that like logistics are my love language. Like if he can manage just one thing in the day, I am like so indebted to him. So if he like orders an Uber or I don't know what it is, something that makes like the logistics of the day, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I mean it. That's so much more valuable to me than like, I don't know, a thoughtful gift of some kind.
Yes.
Like
yes,
if you get, yes. if you can make the day go smoother, that's it for me.
Take something away from my brain that I don't have yes. to do. Take yes. one step away. One just step. Do something. Yeah.
Yes. I love that.
And don't get mad about it. Just do it.
Yeah. Amazing. Tell me more about your current job, your plans going forward, like what we have to look forward to from you, all of that good stuff.
So my day job is that I am the senior commerce writer at Bon Appetit and Epicurious. And I love my job. It actually, I think, is the perfect job for someone with ADHD because I write about shopping. So I get to shop online all day, kind of. I mean, I obsessively research products and then I obsessively test products and then I write about them.
Amazing.
So, and I have a food and drink background. So it's very, you know, it's right up my alley. It's a really great, fun, amazing job. And I'm so lucky to have it. And project wise, right now I'm going to focus on writing more personal essays. I talked to my agent recently about, you know, book projects and I'm, you know, the dopamine is flowing from a book and I'm like kind of excited to write another book. But given this stage of life, I mean, I'm in some major life transitions. I don't feel like I have enough distance from them right now to commit to a book about them. But I am in a place in my life right now where I can write some essays. I have a lot to say about a lot of things. You know, I'm very excited about this new home, my divorce pad. Before I told my husband I wanted a divorce, I started writing an essay called like Women Don't Want to Live with Men Anymore. And I was like, oh, I can't write this because then my husband will divorce me. But now that I'm divorced, or I'm not officially divorced, now that I'm getting a divorce, I could write that essay. And I have a lot of things I want to say. And I think essay is a very good format for me because I do like the short form and it's very personal. I think I'm going to stick with that for a while. And then, you know, I think the next book, I hope that the idea comes to me like the last one did. Like I'm out on a walk and I'm like, oh, that's the book. And then I will go and rattle another email off to my agent and he'll say, yes, this is the book. And I hope that's what, I hope that's what happens. I imagine it would be essays again. We'll see. Who knows?
Amazing. Well, I am a huge fan. I will read everything you do. Where's the best place? Where do you write for the most? Where should people find your stuff?
Well, so by day, Epicurious and Bon Appetit. I also have a Substack that I am really, really behind in, but it's that Emily Ferris. Substack.com. And Ferris is F-A-R-R-I-S. I don't want to spell it with an E. And if you want, since I mentioned my divorce, I have an essay about my divorce as it relates to the publication of my book at Cup of Joe. So there are places to find me on the internet.
Perfect. Amazing. Well, Emily, congratulations. And
thank you.
I'm so rooting for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.